Yo, what's up, guys? JB here. Today is Saturday, the 13th of August, 2011. It's JB here. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. We are here for a very special shoot this week for a cardistry artist, a flourisher, if you will, and his name is Michael Herp, and he is here in the same room with me right now. Usually when we record these things, it's all done via Skype or via phone. It's very rare that I'm in the same room with this person recording with, so it's a privilege, and it's awesome, and I think we'll have a great discussion tonight, so thank you for doing this.
No problem. What's up, guys? How's it going?
It's we've been very tired is the right word for it. We've been shooting about 8 hours a day, at least today, yesterday, the day before that, for Solo. Solo is Michael's debut DVD project at Theory 11 that you guys will be seeing much more of soon. And throughout this podcast, I'm sure we're going to have a great discussion about what Solo is and Michael's influences and inspirations that allowed him to arrive at where he is today and moving forward. So we don't have a lot of time. We only have around 15, 16, 17 minutes. So we're going to get to as many questions as possible tonight that you guys have been submitting all throughout the evening in our forums. So to get things started in the right direction, Michael, let's start with a question by Pat Duff. His post number is number 2. And he's saying, who inspires you to flourish? And if I can, I wanted to broaden the question to who inspired you to flourish. So what was that initial spark or the initial inspiration that is, you know, made you think, oh, I have to do this, I'm interested in this, or this is something I want to do?
Sure. Yeah, you know, back when I was 13, I actually did card magic a lot. I had never even heard of flourishing before. And so I spent a lot of my time on the weekends and stuff at magic shops. So I'd hang out with like the employees and other magicians and stuff, do a lot of sessioning and everything. But this one magician started doing flourishes, and I was instantly hooked. I mean, it really caught my attention. I was like, dude, what is that? He's doing like two-handed cuts and fans and stuff. He's like, oh, it's card flourishes. I'm like, wow. And so immediately we got off the magic track and just started sessioning. He started just showing me every kind of flourish that he knew. And I instantly, you know, I just got really excited about it. And so he's like, oh, you know, you should check out these two twins. They just came out with a DVD called The System.
Mary-Kate and Ashley, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I love the way they flourish. Amazing. So, yeah, he's like, oh, they're these twins, Dan and Dave Buck. Here's their website. So he wrote it down. And I went home and watched the trailer for The System. I'm pretty sure I almost shed tears when I watched it. I was that excited. I was like, man, I just cannot wait to start doing this. And so I bought the DVD right then and there, and it was, I guess that was the beginning of when I started flourishing. As far as like who inspires me now, I'm really inspired by like art and fashion. A lot of what I create is inspired by architecture, clothing styles, music. All of that really kind of adds up to my flourish output, if you will. I'm not very inspired by actual flourishers, but more of the artistic aspect. So that's probably what most inspires me.
Got it. So we're going to jump around a little bit in terms of questions here. This question is post number 5 by Magic Powder. I'm assuming that's some sort of magic dust that he uses to perform with. Nice. He's saying, what happened to Project One? And Solo is your first debut DVD project that we're filming this week, but it's not the first thing you filmed. For example, we've been producing videos populating the Bicycle, official Bicycle YouTube channel that you starred in. At least I think it's 2 videos so far, but there's many more that will be coming out soon. So can you tell us a little bit about what Project One was and what the status of that is right now?
Well, you know, I think I made a mistake with Project One, because when you're really excited about something, you have to output your energy into something. So I instantly, I mean, when I started flourishing, I wanted to create something like a DVD or tutorials or something. So I got the idea back in 2008 for a DVD or some like downloads, some kind of tutorials called Project One. And it was a good idea, because I mean, I felt like I had some good ideas in flourishing and stuff. But the problem with that is that I didn't have the resources to get me through to bring this project to pass. And I worked on it, produced and everything, and it just wasn't I just wasn't happy with it. You know, like I said, I had some good ideas, but if you don't have like a vendor behind you to get your project out there and produced, you just can't do it by yourself. And so I just kind of discontinued it because I felt like it wasn't the best that it could be. So I produced it and I wasn't happy with it because I kept refining it and fine tuning it. I kept changing and evolving. And so Theory 11 came along, and that's kind of how Solo got started. So
Project One kind of evolves into...
Sure,
or is, yeah. You can consider it the prototype for Solo.
Sure, and you can find some ideas from Project One, but it's not going to be Project One as it was. It's not going to be Project One in just a different format at all. I mean, you're going to find tons of new stuff in Solo. Yes, you're going to find some ideas from Project One, but this is a completely different project.
Jumping around more, this is a very simple question. Maybe it's not simple, but the member's name is Cardmaster211. His name is Jaren, and his post number is 10. Everyone has a favorite deck of cards. He's asking what yours is. He says, what is your favorite deck of cards that gives you the best feeling of handling, yeah, fanning, flourishing, and magic? So what's your best? He's saying, what's your best overall deck? Not necessarily just for flourishing, not necessarily just for magic, but overall, do you have a favorite?
Walmart produces this Winnie the Pooh deck. No. favorite deck of cards. That's a tough question because there's so many different moves you can do with flourishing and stuff that there's different decks can do different things. I mean, it's like saying, go into a pro skater and say, hey, what's your favorite deck? I mean, they use a bunch of different stuff. I mean, a lot of people use different things. So,
for fanning, you might have for this.
Sure, yeah. And so, I mean, as far as like cuts go, I love to use like Winds. I also like to use Absolute Vodkas. Those are nice cards. As far as like back design goes, I love Bicycle Vintage fan bags.
That's on the desk with us right now.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm kind of flourishing with them right now. Now, this is kind of surprising, but I also love to practice with streamlines. Love streamlines. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that are produced in Spain, because those are really, they're awful. But some are produced in the U.S., and they carry them at Walmart for $1 a piece. And they're actually surprisingly good. They're super stiff. They're great for cuts. They don't last a long time, but they're a buck. I mean, you can't beat it. So that's what I find myself practicing with a lot.
Yeah, Streamline's kind of similar to Aviator. It's also made by Bicycle. So for those of you unaware, Bicycle makes, obviously, Bicycle cards, B cards, Tally-Ho, Maverick, Streamline, and even Fournier, which is a Spanish brand of playing card that you don't find in the USA, but it's very popular abroad. Let's jump around to inspirations and kind of your process. Paul the Illusionist, post number 11, he's saying, what was the first flourish you ever learned? What was the first? Do you remember practicing the first flourish and what that was?
I learned the thumb fan and stuff, and I don't really consider those flourishes because they're so close to like magic and stuff that I don't know. I don't really consider them flourishes. The first like cut I learned was... I ordered the system, of course, from Dan and Dave, and one of the cuts is called Mary Jane. I didn't want to start with like the Revolution cut or like the Worm. I wanted to start with the absolute hardest cut on the DVD. So I can't tell you how frustrating it was. I started out with bridge cards. It was just so awful because like I would do the first move and they'd instantly just all fall to the floor. And I'd do this over and over. I'd feel myself, what am I doing wrong? And I practiced for literally weeks on end that cut. So yeah, that was probably the first flourish I ever learned.
Anthony Almario, post number 14. He's saying, he's referencing Andre Jick. Andre is around 20 feet away from us right now. In another room, busy working. But he's saying, in another podcast we recorded, a roundtable discussion, Andre mentions that there was a time when he felt like he had to take a break from flourishing, from cardistry. He took a break for a short period of time before he got back into it with a renewed passion and vigor and desire to push the envelope even further with creativity. Have you ever felt a need to take a break from flourishing a few months?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you done it?
Yes, and I have. I mean, you always find yourself apathetic every once in a while because, I mean, you just kind of get bored. You have to kind of, revamp your passion for the art. And so, I mean, I would definitely take sabbaticals, usually around 2 weeks where I just wouldn't touch a deck. And that's not because I, it's, I knew it was for the good. I intentionally did it because usually people lose interest, but they'll continue to practice and stuff, and they just won't enjoy it. So they just kind of like the spark slowly goes out, or the flame, it just kind of burns out. So it's definitely good to take some breaks so that you enjoy it more. Because once you go back to the cards, it's like, man, everything's new again. And so I definitely take some breaks every once in a while.
Well, when you're not taking breaks, you're practicing. So there's a question there. Nay Secho. His post number is 18. And everyone's got a different answer for this. The question is, how do you practice? How did you practice? Some people, practice hardcore for hours a day when they start. And now they kind of perform and they play. Yeah. And that is their practice. How did you practice when you start? So how did you build your skills to this level? So I guess the best way to answer this.
Yeah. When I started, I was 14 years old. So I had lots of time on my hands. And so I practiced literally for 8 hours a day, every single day. And I'm talking about in the mirror, recording myself, watching every move, intentionally trying to get better and better. Now that slowed down, obviously, because, once I was 16, I got a job and stuff, and school, college, all that. And so I didn't have enough time to practice. But, since then I've gotten a lot better, so I don't need to practice as much. But I find myself not really practicing anymore. I think JB, me, and Andre, we all have the same kind of practice method, is just fiddling with cards all day long, unintentionally. It's like a nervous habit. But you do find yourself improving, finding new ideas unintentionally. I know that I think Andre was just stumbled across an idea, and a lot of people do, even with like magic and stuff. They'll do it unintentionally, and then they'll just stumble upon an idea. And so that's good as well. So it's not important. I rarely find myself actually intentionally sitting down and trying to practice, and I don't think that's required to get better.
Earlier today when we were out in Vegas on the strip filming, it was you and it was Andre, and you guys were very focused on filming. You weren't too attentive to your surroundings. And I, was kind of standing in the background, and I looked up, and there was a crowd of... solid 10 people, 10 to 12 people that were watching from above, an area that was kind of above where we were filming. There's a post in here that reminded me of, and the post is by Vigil or Vhill 32. His post number is 22. He's saying, "Do you think the general public cares about card flourishing?"
Oh my gosh!
What do you think the mindset of the general public is when they see you doing this?
Yeah, my opinion has changed drastically as of today, because. I flourish a lot at home. When I'm out and about, I'm very busy, and so I don't have time to carry around cards a lot. So the people I flourish around are people like family members and friends who don't care about flourishing because they've seen it for the last 5 or 7 years straight. I mean, they're sick of it by now. However, I had a chance to go out and just flourish, in the general public, and it was crazy how many people, they would like almost fall down because they'd be like walking past and then just keep staring and just like lose track and like bump into people and stuff. And then like JB was saying, with these people just like hanging over and watching, the general public is definitely interested in card flourishing. I mean, it's a beautiful art. And so with people who are saying that flourishing can't be something apart from magic, I think it totally can, because I think
it is.
It already is. And laymen out on the streets are noticing it. It's really, they're interested in it, definitely.
Yeah, it's not like we were calling attention to or making any noise whatsoever. We were quietly filming with in a corner.
Yeah.
And it's not like you had giant props or giant cards. You had a normal deck of cards. You were silent.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, their eyes stumbled upon this. And they stood there transfixed for 5-10 minutes.
And this happened several times throughout the shoot. It wasn't just once. I mean, I remember that other time when we were against that wall, all those people just standing there.
Yeah, we have a few pictures of these people watching that I took from the sidelines, and it's actually really amazing to see.
Yeah, and they're just as attentive as like when you're showing them a magic trick, which was very interesting. It wasn't like they were bored at all. So I thought that was pretty cool.
There's a good question here that is a little bit deeper. You might have to think a little bit more to figure out the right response and what you think, what your position is. Mm-hmm. The question is by Adam F. His post number is 24. He's saying, "What mistake or mistakes do you think most or some new cardists make and how would you solve it? Is there a common pitfall that you see a lot of people make that you just, it just kind of irks you and be like, oh, I wish you didn't do that, or I wish you would just do this this way, versus is there any mistake, either it's a specific thing or a more general thing?
I think there's two. There's one simple one and one a little bit deeper. The simple one is that, like I said, when you're excited about something, you have to have an output. And so a lot of these Nucartists, they practice for literally 10 hours, their first 10 hours of flourishing, and then they start posting videos. And then not only that, but they want to get some response. They want to get something from somebody. So they start posting on forums and Facebook. And pretty soon, their reputation is ruined forever because they just posted tons of videos. And they do this for like their first year. I made that mistake. And it's just something you have to look out for. Try to do something other than post videos, because, I mean, it just really hurts your reputation.
Posting them publicly.
Posting them, on YouTube.
Yeah,
on
you can share it with friends. You can share it with,
obviously.
Get advice.
But, like, that's definitely a mistake, because, just don't do that. Second one is, let's see, what was I going to say? A lot of people tend to... they tend to create their identity within the Flourish community based on what moves they can create and what moves they can do. And so their entire identity is based upon the cards and not themselves. And I feel like they lose themselves within this Flourish art. The art defines them rather than them defining the art. And I think that's something we all have to be careful of, is that we are the artists. You know, it's not about... It's about what we can create through the art and express ourselves, rather than losing ourselves within the art. And I think that's very important and something to watch out for.
There's a not even a question. There's a post by Elmsley Count, post number 30. It says, your Flourish Whirlpool is probably my favorite Flourish from Project One. I hope it gets carried over into solo.
Yeah. We actually filmed that today. So it's an awesome Flourish. I love it too.
And just to give people an overview, by the way, before we continue forward, we only have a few more moments and I wanted to make sure some specific information gets out there. Can you talk about what Solo is? What is the vision for the project without getting too specific and ruining any surprises? You know, how many flourishes are within it? What's the vision for the project and what are you hoping that the final result will look like?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Solo is a collection of my signature flourishes. There's 10 signature flourishes on the DVD. Lots of bonus stuff. I mean, we've worked days and days on making sure there's going to be lots of goodies within the DVD. So it's not just going to be 10 flourishes, but I can't really give away what's going to be on there. I just wanted to create a really solid Flourish DVD. It seems like there's been lots of snippets, like single downloads and stuff, but really since like Dan and Dave a long time ago, there really hasn't been any good Flourish DVDs, except for maybe like Andre Jake. He's really kind of brought it back, and I want to kind of continue that trend. Andre Jake and I were talking today just about how to get flourishing more mainstream, kind of where it's going and how we can direct it. And I really want to help that out. I want to kind of make flourishing kind of an art in its own, separate from magic, because it kind of loses itself within the magic scene, and I feel like it deserves to be its own entity, and so does Andre Jake shares this passion as well. So that's kind of what Solo is all about, is defining these flourishes, creating an art for itself. So yeah, that's basically about it.
I'm trying to hit up a few rapid fire questions here before we have to go in a few moments. Dream Kid says, do you think flourishing can only impress people through video? Obviously, I could predict your answer is no.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I think today was kind of a case in point, seeing people watching it live and being mesmerized on the street. And these are strangers.
Exactly.
What do you feel like the effect of YouTube is? This is what Mirko Paris says in post number 60. What do you think the effect of YouTube has been on cardistry as a medium and a platform?
It's kind of been a double-edged sword, because it's been an awesome platform to get that art out there. However, with that, there's tons of horrible videos. So you have thousands and thousands of videos. It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack when you're looking for a good Flourish video. And so, I mean, it's been good in getting the art out there, but now it's kind of getting muddled. It's getting lost in a sea of badness.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from my perspective, YouTube poses the same challenge for cardistry as it does for magic. And 90% of my opinion, 99% of my opinion, is it's an amazingly positive thing. It gives everyone the keys to the car. You know, it allows anyone to drive. And the problem with that is that anyone can drive. And you don't want five-year-olds, not that age has really anything to do with this, but you don't want someone that's not trained as a driver on the road, or accidents happen, bad things happen, things that aren't pretty. And the same thing can happen with cars, and the same thing happens with magic. The positive, though, is that anyone has the keys. So that means if you're willing to practice, if you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to think outside the box, and you have the ability to do so, you have a platform. You know, you don't have to wait to be on television to get 25,000 people watching your videos, or 100,000 people watching your videos. You have to be creative, and the only tool you need is yourself. And there's no excuse, and there's no, if I only had this. You've got everything you need. If you have a basic webcam, there are people that have been remarkably successful with only that. So I think that's inspiring, and it should alleviate or remove any excuse that people have out there of what they need and why they are not yet successful, or what's holding them back. So it's a motivating thing, I think, for me. And it was when I was growing up in magic, being able to post things on YouTube. So we are out of time. So we got to as many questions as possible. So I wanted to, first and foremost, on behalf of both of us, say thank you, guys, for participating tonight, submitting all of these awesome questions. They were great from start to finish. We'll continue to, you know, if we have time over the coming day or so, have Michael jump into the forums and reply to any additional questions that he sees fit. And please join us soon for another roundtable discussion, and look forward to the release of Solo, which we are working very hard on as we speak.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Later.